All praises to the Most High Yahweh, creator of all things, worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. Also acknowledging our Lord and Savior Yahweh HaMashiach, who some know as Yahusha, Yahweh Shai, Yahshua, and the Gentiles refer to as Jesus. Also giving honor to the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, leading and guiding in all truth and righteousness, bringing all things to remembrance. Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another episode of Talking Prophecy. Let's get right into it. Matthew 24, verses 15 through 18. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Okay, a couple of points I want to pull out of here right quick is this is the Savior talking. These words should be taken very seriously. All of his words should be taken very seriously. He has instructed us in this way. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation, when you therefore see, where are we located? We are in the land of our captivities. At this point in time, we will not and we cannot see this event take place. We don't know where the temple is. We don't know where Judea is. We don't know anything about our lands. It's all speculation up to this point. So while you're in your captivity, you will never see these things. You have to first be redeemed. So you have to first enter into the 1260 days of Second Exodus. These are when the cities and buildings will be rebuilt where we're living and dwelling. Then we'll know where Judea is. Then we'll know where the temple is. But as of right now, we have no idea, and it's all speculation. Matthew 24:19-22. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So the scripture warns us, our Savior tells us to the pregnant women during this time, woe unto you. So again, we have to refer back to the 1260 days. Once we're redeemed from our captivity, we're going to be experiencing a lot of blessings. And one of those blessings are we're going to be having many children. So there are going to be a lot of babies being born as we go back into our lands, and with the cleansing of us and all the celebration and the worshiping of the Most High, it's going to be very good. But as time progresses, as the 1260 days move on, like I said in the other episodes, people will begin to forsake the covenant. People will become lovers of themselves. You know, so you will, by the time we reach the end of the 1260, according to the 10 virgins, 5 will still be wise and the other 5 will be foolish. So in verse 20, we see, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. This is a very interesting thing to say, because now we're talking about traveling. A flight is travel. So he's warning you and warning the women and everybody at this time that a big woe is coming. But then he says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. This is a reference to the marriage supper, to the wise virgins who still have oil. Their flight will not be in the winter. They'll go in and will not have to endure great tribulation. Same thing with the Church Philadelphia. It's the same people. The five wise virgins equal the Church of Philadelphia, who will be kept from the hour of temptation. So every time I hear brothers and sisters speak, they always refer to this event as rapture, because they know the word rapture does not appear in the Bible. But they never want to refer to it as the marriage supper of the Lamb, because this is a very real event. There are two events where we see our Savior. In Revelation 12, we see the Savior coming back and we meet him in the air. He's not coming to the earth. We meet him in the air. This is symbolized by the woman given wings to fly away for a time, times and half a time, which is 3.5 years. So the second time we see the Savior is when he cracks the sky. These two events are 3.5 years apart. The first one occurs where the church goes and meets the Savior in the air. Like the Savior said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. So that's paraphrasing, but he said something along those lines. And so the second time that he appears, he cracks the skies and he comes back to the earth, feet on the earth, taking the kingdoms from Esau and those that are in rulership. Those two events are 3.5 years apart. So to recap what we just went through, the first thing our Savior said is when you see this. So the temple will be built in the wilderness and we will be able to physically see this man of sin go into the temple with the abomination that maketh desolation. We're going to see this event, the last generation. He was not talking to Apostle Peter and them, because he knew they would not be here to see this event. He was not talking to our forefathers who began the 400 years in captivity, because he knew they would not be there. But he's talking about the generation that's ending the 400 years going into the second Exodus. One of the main mistakes a lot of our people make is they run everything together. They have tribulation, great tribulation, everything in captivity. These events are not going to happen in captivity for the children of Israel. The Gentiles, when we get gathered, they immediately go into tribulation. Their tribulation lasts how long? 1260 days. Like I said, it's like a coin. On the head side for Israel, they go into blessings, 1260 days. On the tail side, for the Gentiles, they go directly into tribulation, 1260 days. After the 1260 days comes the purge. The Most High said, I will purge out the rebels and them that transgress, because they fell away, they forsook the covenant, they're going to be purged. There's still a chance for them to make it, but they're going through great tribulation. They will lay down their lives if they're going to make the kingdom. Another second Exodus scripture, which many don't realize or recognize as a second Exodus scripture, Isaiah 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord, I had made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jezreel whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. It's talking about us at this point. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God, there is no power. Now we're in Isaiah 44, verse 21. Remember thee, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolishness, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Thus saith the Lord, just thus saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and the cities of Judah ye shall be built. I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundations, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. That last part got me excited because I want to touch on some things in that. But here you see, just like in the other scriptures where it was set, where the Most High told us he was going to sprinkle clean water on us, put his spirit in us and in our minds, and basically grant us salvation. Well, this scripture here says it, saying the same thing, but it's saying it in a different way. Our sins are referred to as a thick cloud. You know, his blotting out of our sins is referred to as a thick cloud because we have many. You know, the verses that I didn't read speaks about how the idolatry and the worshiping of false gods are going on. You know, they take a tree and they cut it and they bake bread with it, and they eat from the bread and they give thanks, and then they take another part of it and then they warm themselves and they say, ah, yeah, you know, I'm feeling, you know, I'm warm. So they use a tree, you know, an object that has no life. The only purpose is to help serve man in his needs. And then the last part of it, they take it and they make an idol and they bow down and they worship it instead of the Creator. This is the state of Israel and Judah, because we were sent here to serve these false powers because of our disobedience to the only true power. We didn't want to serve him. We wanted to be like the other nations and serve all of these false idols. So he allowed us to come and do that. This is why you have Buddhism. Over 500 million people worship this, basically bowing down to pottery, shiny dirt. And here comes Judah and in Israel, and they're bowing down. I said over 530 million people are involved in this religion. How many Israelites are tied up into this? That's one. You got Hinduism. It's a billion, 1 billion something. Bow down to the cow. Worship an animal. Something that can't speak, that has no power to save. And Judah and Israel are wrapped up. I said 1 billion strong. How many Israelites are bowing down to a cow? And last but not least, you have Christianity. Cesar Borgia, homosexual, flaming homosexual, son of a pope who died of syphilis. This is how the image of the false Messiah came through, you know, the whole world basically. Now, this is over 1 billion strong too. This is the most people participating in this religion. So it's to show you that what was written in Isaiah, as far as the bowing down and worshiping idols, that's what we are doing right now, this very day. Millions of Israelites are in these religions, bowing down and worshiping false idols. But there is absolutely great news. The Most High has plans to blot out our sins, to redeem us, to restore us, to put us back in the top. As the other nations follow us back, they will serve Israel in the 1260 days. Gentiles will not be that beaten with a whip kind of captivity that we went through. It's do your job and be blessed. If you want to rebel, then expect the whip. But if you come in and do what you're supposed to do, you should be fine. So calling your attention back to verse 26, Isaiah 44, 26. That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Now, I can't go into the Osiris because that's not given to me. But what is given to me is right here in this 44:28. Jerusalem will be rebuilt when we go inside the 1260. Not only that, the temple shall be laid. Inside the 1260, when we return back to the land, the temple, the foundation will be laid. So again, this whole thing started with our Savior saying, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. Right now, we can't see that. But inside the 1260, the foundation will be laid. And we will see this one day. I pray this is a blessing to you. All praises to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, His only begotten Son, Yahweh Shai, and to the Ruach HaKodesh. I love you, brothers and sisters. Until we meet again, Shalom.